Before the birth of our Savior, our world had never, ever witnessed such a day as the birth of Mary. Similar to that of Jesus, it was not marked by any worldly grandeur or any truly miraculous, you might say, something that would attract the attention of the world. In fact, Our Lady's birth was more hidden than the birth of our Lord, if you can imagine. For our Lord at least had the angels who appeared in the heavens singing the Gloria in Excelsis, announcing the arrival of the Messiah to the shepherds. Our Lady had none of that. Our Lord had the three magi coming from afar to offer him their gifts, but Our Lady again had none of that. In the eyes of God, this worldly display means nothing, absolutely nothing. But on this day, what are we celebrating? For one, this is the long-foretold defeat of Satan's kingdom. It has arrived. The woman whose heel would crush the head of the serpent has finally appeared, and the woman who would be instrumental in bringing God Himself, the Savior of mankind, into the world, is here. Mary, most pure, is born. From the first moment of her conception in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, she had absolutely no stain of original sin. We all know that. And even at the first moment of her existence, she far surpassed anyone else in holiness. Be they angel, be they man, she surpassed them all. The degree of holiness that she possessed at her first moment after birth was higher and greater than the degree of holiness that the saints had after many years in the service of God. And every day she continued on to become holier and holier. Furthermore, we celebrate the fact that on this day, even though Our Lady was just an infant, her soul was endowed with gifts and with graces that never before were heard of since creation. The soul of Eve, before the fall, you know, was created with grace, with sanctifying grace in it. But the beauty of Mary's soul, one author says, was as much superior to that of Eve as the sun surpasses the moon in splendor. Furthermore, the perfect understanding of Mary's intellect from infancy was a wonder even to the angels. She possessed the use of reason from the cradle. And this enabled her to perform meritorious actions, even from her infancy. You and I do not perform meritorious actions before we have come to the use of reason. But Our Lady always had the use of reason, and therefore, even from her cradle, performed meritorious actions. Her acts of homage and of adoration were so frequent and so intense with the love and charity of God that the state of grace in her soul was constantly increasing and brought her each moment, think of it, closer and closer to God. The activity of grace in her during her whole life never once ceased. She was always growing in sanctifying grace, always moving forward in holiness. She never stayed still at one degree of perfection. She kept moving on. But I think the lesson of today's feast is this. It is that we must never underestimate the value of the life of grace in the soul. In sacred scripture we read, all her beauty is from within. Now in the Protestant system of belief, wealth, material wealth, is a sign of God's blessing. It is a sign that you are pleasing to God if He blesses you with wealth. But as you and I know from Catholic teaching, this is nothing more than simple trimmings. God can give wealth to whomever He wishes. He may permit poverty for whomever He wishes, whether saint or sinner. Wealth has nothing to do with the state of your soul. But material wealth, outward beauty, intelligence, all those things which the world loves, these things in themselves do not get us any closer to God or any closer to heaven. In fact, they might even be a stumbling block in the path of our salvation. How many souls have been ruined because they had a strong intellect, and through pride they could not bear to accept the Catholic doctrine. How many atheists are otherwise intelligent? Judas had material wealth. He carried the apostolic purse, and yet we know where he ended up. And many a soul has been lost, taken in by the outward beauty of another. So these things mean absolutely nothing, but could be a stumbling block. Secondly, God does not care. This is a second lesson. He does not care in the least if we are successful in what we do. Many of the works of the saints turned out to be complete disasters, complete and utter failures. How many times you read about it in the lives of the saints, where they try to found a religious order, only in the end for their priests to turn on them, or for the order to shut down completely, the schools to be a failure. God doesn't care about the success of their work. He cares about the intention and the love with which they did it. Because if you do your works with good intention and with love of God, there's not a single thing you do in life that is a failure before God. Thirdly, God never commanded that we be rich, that we be beautiful, that we be successful. But He did say, in the way of a commandment, be you therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this command is given not to priests and religious only, but to everyone, married, single, it doesn't matter. Just as Our Lady never ceased to grow in grace, so we are expected by God to always increase in sanctifying grace at every moment. One writer said, there should not be two classes of Catholics, those who wish to grow and those who wish merely to get by. Not at all. But how many of us here, sitting in the pews today, fall into that second category? We may not admit it, but how many of us fall into that, where we just want to get by, just avoid mortal sin. And if I happen to commit mortal sin, then I'll go to confession. Those are indeed good goals, to be sure. But that should not be your standard. It should not be our standard, because we often set the bar too low for ourselves. I think of a marathon runner. He does not, when he's preparing for a marathon, just decide that today I'm going to run 20 miles when he has never run before in his life. Rather, he starts out small, and then he builds upon the base, and he keeps going farther and farther and farther. And when he can push himself no longer, then he does something else. He tricks his mind and says, today I will run 5 miles, when in fact he means to only run 4. Setting the bar higher means we will most likely fall short. So if you set the bar higher than what your goal really is, you will always, always reach your goal. But the fourth lesson for today is that our spiritual progress does not happen overnight. Our Lady was born with special graces that you and I were not born with. And so, to attempt to take a large leap in the spiritual life, all at one time, would probably result not in progress, but rather in a fall. This is not to say, however, that we should be stingy when giving to God. But it means don't do it all in one day. It isn't about doing it all at once, but it is about constantly advancing, moving on, going forward in the spiritual life. So what does it mean, finally, to progress in the spiritual life? How do you know? Is it the more rosaries you say? Is that a sign that you are making true progress? Or the more penances you do? These are all signs of someone's fervor. But these things are not the essence of perfection. Because remember, there's a limit to how many prayers you can say in the day. So once you reach that limit, does that mean that you have reached the highest degree of holiness that there is? No, it does not. There is a limit on mere externals. But there is no limit for the degree of charity and love of God with which we do these things. And that is where perfection is. It is to do all of our actions, however simple or however profound, with the greatest love of God that you can possibly muster up with His grace. So remember this, though, for the lesson today, as we consider Our Lady's almost hidden birth, that all her beauty was from within. And it matters not what material things we possess, how successful we are. What does matter is that here and now, at this precise moment, your soul is in the state of sanctifying grace. That each moment that you live and breathe, you grow in sanctifying grace. And that at the moment that you take your last, final breath and enter into the next life, that your soul has reached the degree of perfection and holiness that Almighty God has destined for your soul. And so let us today take the Blessed Virgin Mary as our model and as our patroness, as our advocate, and ask her every day to make us to grow in the love of Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.